This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Monday, April 1st, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.
There was a study done exploring a new gene therapy using RNA molecules called transfer RNA, or tRNA for short. These molecules were able to repair a subset of mutations that cause SMA and other inherited diseases. The study was done using the muscle tissue of mice. These genetic alterations, called nonsense mutations, alter the DNA sequence. They introduce something called stop codons. These codons prematurely stop gene expression and impair protein production. Stop codons are triplets of nucleotides, which are the building blocks for DNA. Besides SMA, these mutations also underlie other diseases such as Duchenne muscular dystrophy, cystic fibrosis, and polycystic kidney disease. The study was called Engineered Transfer RNAs for Suppression of Premature Termination Codons. It was published in the journal Nature Communications. Several lines of research have attempted to find compounds that are able to repair nonsense mutations. However, previous research has shown that certain small molecules can generate a different type of mutation. These are able to disrupt protein function, but they can be toxic to the ears and kidneys. In addition, using the CRISPR gene editing technique has presented challenges and effects that are off-target. Therefore, aiming to find an approach that can repair nonsense mutations precisely is what this team is trying to investigate using the tRNAs. The team is from the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine, the Wistar Institute, the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation Therapeutics Lab, and Integrated DNA Technologies. All genetic information contained within DNA is ultimately translated into proteins. However, the process is complex, with several steps. First, DNA is transformed into messenger RNA. Then, a process called translation begins that results in the production of proteins. tRNA helps decode a messenger RNA sequence into a protein. Through specific sequences called anticodons, tRNA molecules match up with the corresponding mRNA. They then deliver the correct amino acid to build a protein inside a ribosome. Researchers engineered tRNAs to recognize and suppress three different stop codons. To be effective, however, the edited tRNAs should still be recognized by the cell's machinery that's involved in translation. The results showed that the engineered tRNA molecules were able to repair the most common disease-causing nonsense mutations with any amino acid. Also, the cell-based approach identified multiple engineered tRNAs for each amino acid and type of stop codon. The researchers then observed that the tRNAs, when encoded and formulated for efficient delivery, could effectively correct nonsense mutations in the mouse muscle tissue. The repair was found in diverse disease-related genes, such as CFTR, where 1,000 mutations have been linked with cystic fibrosis. Also, the results revealed that the tRNA activity was sustained for weeks. The researchers said that in total, engineered tRNA represents a promising new class of therapy. Christopher Ahern, PhD, is the study's senior author. He said this is a robust approach, and hopefully one day it may be used to correct defective genetic sequences in people. However, he cautioned that more information is still required, such as the ideal delivery strategies, and that there are a lot of technical obstacles to overcome before it can be used in human therapies. If this were to work as human therapy, it would be a way to target every known stop codon disease. This is because even correcting a small percent of the mutated protein could be enough to be therapeutic to the patient.
Coming up next, I'll share one of my perspectives with you.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploreGeneTherapy.com.
I remember while growing up, watching my parents and thinking to myself, I hope I never have to go through what they're going through when I get to be their age. Well, I'm now their age, and reality is slapping me in the face much harder than I thought it would. While growing up, my hair was so thick, the barber used to have to thin it with a razor blade before he could cut it. Yes, I said barber. Back then, we didn't have hairstylists. You walked through a door that had a rotating barber pole with the red and white stripes, and typically, you sat next to a complete stranger and waited your turn. There were no appointments. There were typically two barbers working side by side, and by the time it was your turn to get your hair cut, you had probably had enough time to make friends with the stranger that you sat next to while waiting your turn. If you had a long enough time to wait, you could even go over and sit in the chair where the shoeshine guy worked so that he could clean and polish your five-year-old weather-beaten shoes. I remember thinking to myself, I'm never going to lose my hair and look like my father. But as soon as I got out of high school, it wasn't long until I noticed that the barber didn't have to thin my hair with a razor blade anymore, and that I was having to call the plumber to unclog my shower drain because of all the hair that was falling out of my head. Before long, I was the spitting image of my father. I will say this though, going bald did make it much easier for me, because I had much less to take care of. And let's face it, grass don't grow on a playground, or at least, that's what I've been told. Okay, I have to admit it, getting older sucks, but I can either sit here and complain about it, or I can embrace it and welcome these changes that my body's going through with open arms. After my last maintenance dose injection of Spinraza on Monday, March the 11th, I started noticing that I was having difficulty sitting straight up in my wheelchair. I had had a few prostate issues over the past few years, and the majority of men will go through prostate problems sometime in their life. I'm not going to give you the gory details, but let's just say that an enlarged prostate is like sitting on an orange. Okay, that's probably a visual that you didn't need. My apologies. After living with this for nearly 5 days after my maintenance dose injection, I decided that I should go to the hospital just so I could get everything checked out. As I went through the emergency room doors, the nurse behind the counter looked at me and said, "Welcome back, Michael." The last thing that you want is for the emergency room doctors and nurses to know you by your first name. When this happens, you've officially joined their frequent flyer club, and it's not necessarily a club that you feel proud of being a member of. After the usual check-in process, they took me to a room and transferred me from my wheelchair to the bed. After taking blood work and urinalysis, they sent them to the lab to be evaluated. The nurse came back into the room about 30 minutes later and told me that all of my test results came back fine, so the doctor wanted to go ahead and schedule a CT scan. 45 minutes after the CT scan was completed, the doctor came into the room. Now mind you, the doctor that was on call that particular evening was a 26-year-old GQ model looking doctor. After a few moments of idle chit-chat, he crossed his arms and looked at me and said, "Mr. Morale, you have prostatitis." He explained that this is just an infection in my prostate and that they could give me some antibiotics and some pain medication that would help take care of it. What came out of his mouth next made me realize that I was over 50 years old and that I was probably on the downhill slide toward false teeth and retirement. He looked at me and said, "Mr. Morale, men your age tend to get prostatitis rather easily." For the next 3 seconds, I had visuals of me jumping out of bed and choking this doctor to the point of unconsciousness. But thankfully, these were just images that were going through my head. I don't mind being told that I'm getting older by someone that's closer to my age. But when a 26-year-old clean-cut looking child tells me that I'm getting older, it makes me thankful that I don't have the ability to jump up and showcase my Arnold Schwarzenegger physique. Okay, so the whole Arnold Schwarzenegger physique thing? Yeah, those are just images that are in my head. To be honest with you, I probably look more like Pee-wee Herman and Mr. Rogers all rolled up into one. Now, there's a visual that you can play with. Yes, getting older sucks. And I never thought that I would say it, but at least I'm old enough and have lived long enough to be able to say it. You know, you can't run from it and you can't hide from it. So when things start falling apart on you as you get older, think of it this way. We all start out wearing diapers when we're born, and if we live long enough, we'll probably end up in diapers again someday. Oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. I'm going to end my perspective piece now. I have to go take my Geritol. The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.